Welcome to the FIEC Resources for Church Leaders podcast. You're listening to a seminar from the 2024 FIEC Leaders Conference. For more resources for church leaders, visit fiec.org.uk.
That's for you. Always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Well, we know the scripture well. We've preached it, I guess. We've heard it preached at inductions. But I think it's just a great picture of Paul in his last moments as he hands over to this young man, and as he exhorts him in the ministry with the wealth of experience he may well have had and that which he wants to impart, and he calls him to keep going, to fulfill the work, to ensure that he keeps the vision and keeps the perspective. And whatever this seminar is hoping to do, in some small way, I guess, I'm not saying I'm Paul, I'm ready for my departure. Well, I hope I'm ready, but it is in just a sense of handing the baton on. And we want to do that, and we want to do it well. And part of my last 10 years is preparing to do that. And we trust that, well, God in his providence has helped us, and we thank God for all that has happened. So here we are, finishing strong. I've kind of subtitled the seminar 10 Years and Counting, and I've done that because as we begin to think through, and it might be that we were supposed to be 55 plus, I think that's the way we're thinking, and it may be the stand down is 10 years away, but it's 10 years away, and we're beginning the countdown towards it, whatever that might look like. And it could be longer, but here we are, this is what we're doing this afternoon. And so, although in preparing, I kind of wanted to avoid it being about us, I think just to give you my journey into ministry and to where we are today might be helpful. And so what I'm going to do now is do that, and then if you've got any questions from that, then we'll have an opportunity just to kind of, if you want to ask anything, and if you don't, we'll shift on to the next point. So, yeah, as you're listening, there may be stuff that you want to pick up on or clarify about our story, then please do. So, ministry for us, when I left school, I entered the world of employment, and I worked in the retail sector, retail management. I worked for Hepworth, the menswear tailors, as they were then. They now go under the brand of Next. So we all have heard of Next. Before they were Next, they were Hepworth, and that's when I worked for them. In my early 20s, I left that sector and went to the Faith Mission Bible College, which is in Edinburgh, and was there for 2 years, and went into their work of rural evangelism, working alongside churches who are intent on reaching their community with the gospel, and we were involved in that. I should say, in following the wonderful Proverbs, is it Proverbs 18, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I found my wife at Bible College, and Kay is with us today, and that was, so we met in Bible College, they eventually got married while we were in the work and served in the Faith Mission for some 4 years. But we were serving in the Highlands of Scotland, and it was there as I was regularly ministering in a local church, because they didn't have a minister, and I was there Sunday by Sunday. It was felt right, we were feeling it, that we might pursue pastoral ministry. The church and the leaders there were listening in on that, and they felt that was a good thing to pursue, and that's exactly what we did. So in 1989, along with two children, one who was 2 years old and one who was 6 months, we moved to London, where I attended London Theological Seminary. Completed their two-year course, I was called to my first church, which was in Broadstairs in Kent. We spent 5.5 years there, and I could have left after two. I often say Bible College prepared me for everything but ministry. That's not to say anything detrimental about London Theological Seminary, because it was a great training ground and that we were blessed by being there. But intellectually, we knew a lot of stuff. But emotionally, we kind of just were all at sea at times. And for a number of reasons, we felt it was, this is not going to work. And it culminated in a particular Sunday morning when I was preaching. I went to the door to say cheerio to some of the folks, and two people handed me their resignation on a grubby piece of paper. If you're going to put it in a nice piece of paper in an envelope, that would have been quite nice. But it was just like a scrappy thing, I nearly felt that's it. But two things kept me. Firstly, if we had gone, we were going to meet similar problems somewhere else. People are people, I'm a sinner too. We're going to meet those problems. And so I knew that going up, running away wasn't going to be the answer to the issue. And the second thing, we just felt that God wanted us where we were supposed to be. I'm going to talk about a call later on. Some people don't talk about a call these days, I don't know. But, we did feel called that this is where we should be. And so we stayed for another 3.5 years. And we did see the issue through. And some elements had got sorted, and when we did leave, we knew it was the right time to leave. And so that was the first ministry. And then in February 1997, we were called to Bancor Mission Church, which is in North Liverpool, as I've said, in Bootle. And it's there that we've spent the rest of our ministry. For 28 years. I knew we would, our second ministry, I did feel it would be a longer one. I didn't think it would be 28 years, but it has been. And we're now literally on our last lap. As God willing, we finish in Bank Hall on Sunday the 24th of this month. It's our last Sunday in the church, and we stand down in terms of retirement. It's been encouraging to be part of that family, and they've been a blessing in many ways, although we've had our moments for sure. In 2015, I began a conversation in my head. I've been the sole pastor for 26 years. The best conversations I always have is with myself, because I agree with myself. But I had to begin a conversation with myself. What is actually these next 10 years going to look like? And would I be able to stay in this church up until my retirement if we take the state pension age and it's being the cut-off point, which is actually January 2025, so a couple of months early, but there's different reasons for that, all good reasons. But taking that as the date of retirement from the church, could I actually run those last 10 years? It coincided with a particularly challenging time in the church, which necessitated in my having to take a month off in the January of that year of complete rest and removal from church ministry. I think it was an informative time for me. It reminded me of my own frailty, but also the need to assess what the future looked like. Exactly at that time, I read that little book, The Life of an Ordinary Pastor. I didn't read any theological tomes in that month. I didn't go anywhere near any doctrinal books. I just read some missionary stories and just a bunch of stuff. And that was one of them, and it was a great help. But two things I wanted to consider as I began to think. And firstly, would the last 10 years be spent somewhere else then, where I might actually re-engage with a bit more energy and a fresh start, a renewed energy, and a way to finish well for both the church and any church I might go to for myself. And I think that is a legitimate way forward if you want to last around the last 10 years. I think it's a question worth thinking about sometimes. Not that you need to go away, but maybe it is just the way you're able to navigate through what can sometimes be difficult. And particularly if you've been in a long ministry, as we have been, obviously, up to that point. So it was a question that we began to ask. So move away, or is it to stay where we are? To at some point begin a conversation with the leadership and then the church as to what it might look like moving towards my retirement. In either case, go or stay, we would need to know the provision and strength of God to run the course, whatever that was going to look like. We didn't actively look to move away. If it was going to happen, we just felt, well, if God will open the door, then that's fine. We will see where that would go to, and then we would pursue it. But in the midst of all of that, I know I came to a point from being a little bit unsettled. Should I look somewhere else? What that look like? It always looks a little bit nicer on the other side, doesn't it? What's the old phrase? The grass is always greener on the other side. But then somebody has said, it still needs cutting. But when you're feeling unsettled, there's always something that kind of looks like, yeah, and that looks more attractive. That would potentially be a little bit easier. I was feeling a little bit unsettled in the course of that. But eventually, accepting that if God wanted us to move, that would be fine, but if he wanted to stay, that would be fine too. And I think one big question became part of my thinking at that point, and as to whether to stay or go. And I think the big question, having been 18 years in the church already, the question is, why wouldn't I shepherd these people for the last night? And I think that was quite a big thing, just to begin to think through. Did I have the energy to do that? What was that going to look like? And then I got to the point, well, listen, you can't just, you don't know what 5 years you're going to be like in 5 years' time. You know, you can only deal with what you've got before you. And that's really what happened. And I think we would both say we became settled. This is where God wants us, unless he does something. Once I accepted that, it was just like, okay, let's just get on with this, and let's just do it. And whatever comes up, we'll often navigate our way through it, but this is where God wants us to be, and he'll make it possible. If he's helped us run the race for 18 years in this church, and in 20 plus years in ministry, he's not going to stop now. So that was kind of floating around in our heads and hearts and experience for a year or so, 2015. We began a discussion, so everything's different, but we began a discussion with our leadership in approximately 2017. We were setting out the need to think and pray for any transition that might be possible. And in 2019, having agreed a way forward with the leaders and also with the church, we had a prayer and pledge week in the February 2020, when the church committed themselves to giving some £20,000, which in the context of the North Liverpool church, that is a massive amount of money. That might not sound like a lot in some southern church, someone thought about the southern churches, or any other church, but for North Liverpool Bootle, 20,000 is a big amount of money for us to raise, just in the immediate congregation. And so the church were committed prayerfully and in tangible financial ways to the possibility of having somebody come alongside me and working together so that we would have some transition, whatever that might look like. That was in February 2020, and you know what happened in March 2020. And the pandemic swept in, and it just sidelined everything from our perspective. Small church, I'm the only fully paying up guy. All our leaders are well committed, but working. We're all working in sectors where they didn't have any time off, NHS, etc. So it was really just, I don't know if you remember that time, but it was really just about how do we actually navigate through the next week, never mind the next 5 years, what's Boris going to come up with next that we cannot do. And that was just really the all that we were swamped with, and not, it dominated everything, I suppose. So the whole idea of getting somebody to come and work alongside of me, that didn't happen. Then we returned to that thought in January 2022, and after another time, prayer and prayer, similar amount was raised, we were able actually to appoint somebody to work alongside me last October. Eddie came with his wife Kat, two little children, and that just was an amazing providence. And it's one of those moments, I don't know if you've had it in your ministry, you know, we pray about stuff. Do you pray about stuff? Yeah. We ask God for stuff. And then it's a bit like Rhoda, you know, when she went to the door and they were praying about Peter, and she comes back in. Peter's there. He can't be Peter. He's in prison. But we're praying for him, but he's in prison. Now it's Peter. It must be his ghost. And it was that moment when Eddie came and think, no, oh, this is our prayer that's been answered. And it was just a wonderful time to just thank God. The FIC were very helpful to us. Before we even got Eddie, we were contemplating this, and they gave us a gift of £10,000. And it was at that moment when we were wondering what's going to happen, and suddenly this gift came through, and we thought, right, okay. And I think God gives you those things at certain times. That's been my experience. Hopefully, some of that stuff you will identify with. Just God knows what we need at any particular moment, and there it was. And I was able to kind of take a picture, send it around the leadership. Thank you, God. We realised we had to use the money within the year, or else we'd have to send it back. And we were getting towards the end of the year, and we hadn't used it. And then Eddie came along, and we appointed him. And he's with us now. He's here in conference. And in some ways, just saying to somebody, the fact that we've appointed Eddie, and he's working alongside me now for the past year, that has actually helped on this last lap. I'm not too sure, if we hadn't got Eddie, I don't know how I might have coped. But now he's with us, it's 50-50, he's doing ministry, I'm doing ministry, any problem I just send him to Eddie. It's working amazingly well. No, it's been a wonderful provision, and just then us being able to stand back a little bit and move the responsibility onto somebody else bit by bit. We still have obviously the full responsibility, but somebody else beginning to pick it up and beginning to learn, and we have confidence as far as we can in him, and we thank God for that. And so end of the month we finish and we hand over to Eddie. We finish on Sunday, but of course we never finish in our hearts, as you know get those things. So this is where we're at. That's our journey so far. Don't know if anybody's got any questions that they want to ask at this point. Just shout it out. Yeah, go on.
What's your plan next?
Well, that's a very good question. Let me illustrate that with this. When we went to London Theological Seminary 35 years ago, we moved from Fort William in Scotland. I applied to college 18 months in advance, thought that would give us plenty of time to get accommodation. We didn't know where we were going to live 3 weeks before we went to London, but we got a house. At this point in time, we're not too sure where we're going to live. We are potentially moving to Bristol, That's where most of our family are. And a few things have to be in place if that's going to happen. But I think, and I speak for Kay as well, wherever we go, we do want to just be a service to any church, anywhere, wherever we're living, and that's absolutely. But Bristol potentially is where we're headed.
Paul, how long was that shall I stay, shall I go?
I guess it was a good year.
A year?
I think probably, you know, because there was one or two little things that came along. And I think that's part of the unsettling thing, is a sense of looking, oh yeah, but actually, no. And I think that God was driving us into a place of, why don't you look at the congregation I've given you? Those are the ones that we need to look at. And I think that's where we have to look in the end. It was about, and it's all about our own hearts sometimes, isn't it? You know, we think we want to look somewhere else and that will be helpful to us. And it sometimes is, and it's, I must caveat all this stuff with, if we're running the last 10 years and if our health is threatened, then it is a time to say, okay, maybe we can't go on. That's quite legitimate. Aside from that, you know, I think it's a journey. It wouldn't have been wrong to go if something had come up, if that's where. But we were driven into the point where these are the sheep. This is where we're looking.
So the extension of the question, what next?
Yeah.
You say you're going to move.
Yes.
Do you feel you need to move? Do you need to move for the church and for any? Are you driven by other? Because this is the reason I'm here.
Yeah.
When I retire, should I move on
yes.
and leave the young associates free reign, or do I hang around like a millstone?
It's a good question. And to answer it, I think even if we were staying in Liverpool, probably we would say we would have moved out of the church. Why would we do that? Why not stay? This is the people we know. I guess for us, and it sometimes it's a personal thing, you know, to allow Eddie, the young guy, to come in and just find his own identity within the congregation. And this year has been great because he's, you know, the congregation's learned to love him. Some old lady came up to him a few months ago and she said to him, will you do my funeral? Not my funeral, her funeral. And so Eddie came and told me this. I said, I'm not even gone yet. I said to Eddie, who was it? And he said, I don't know. But I think, so that's been great, just allow Eddie to be loved. And just allow him to find his place and lead the church in the way that I think he wants to. And what we've tried to do, though, and this might be a long answer to the question, we've tried to prepare ourselves, and we've tried to prepare the church, and we've tried to prepare them with the thought, listen, there will be change, and we're behind that. And there's a few things that we've pointed out already, and Eddie wanted us... Eddie didn't want it to look like, as soon as Paul and Kay go through the exit door, that suddenly he comes in with a whole lot of stuff that he wants to. He wanted it to be a natural, this is some of the stuff we've been talking about, leaders, let's do it. So for us, probably to move away, to give him some breathing space is what we would have done. Whether or not you feel that's the, you could do that. I mean, staying and helping is a good thing too. I think, I'll come to you. But sometimes, like, I think I know my own heart, and I think I would have been able to sit in the congregation and Eddie would change things, and I think I'd be able to say, that's okay. But I don't, you know, sometimes my own heart deceives us, and suddenly, hold on a minute, you know. I started that, and you're changing it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Also, I think the other thing allied to that is you've got the people in the congregation, you have a members' meeting, and Eddie says, okay, I think we're going to do this. And they're all looking, think, well, what does he think?
Yeah.
And I just wonder sometimes if to allow that a natural sense of moving on, then. But I've heard it where men have stayed and it has worked. I've probably heard more stories about it not working.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the ones you hear. Oh, no, yes, sir. So, yeah, go on. Who you want to ask?
How did Eddie's appointment happen? Did you advertise? Did he come for an interview? Did the church membership have to vote him? Was it unanimous? Was it half and half?
Okay, so it's a great story, to be fair. So I may as well tell it. I don't know, where are we at now? 3 or 4? Okay. We're good. So basically what we wanted to do in appointing anybody was we were trying to avoid going to advertise, not because we're against it, but because as soon as you put an advert up there, then obviously you get applications, but I think it might be my North Liverpool. A lot of people signing up to come to North Liverpool. But anyway, there may have been a few. It would be me that would have to deal with all that. And I just think I want to try and avoid that if I can. So we basically, initially as leadership said, so leave it to me, I've got some connections, let's have conversations and see where we go. So with Eddie, basically, FIC, local conference, he came in, he came up to me, he saw my name, and he said, are you Alistair Kinnaird's father? That's my son. I said, well, who's asking? So it was, he said, I've just met your son. He was, Eddie done union, was doing union, and he met my son, who was doing a little module, and had a chat. And so Eddie came in, and then somebody at that conference said to me, Eddie will be looking for someone in a year's time. So I got his details from the son, bumped up with Eddie. He came with his wife, had a chat, and he was very interested in being part of Bank Hall. And then on the way out, he said, but at the moment I'm having a conversation with another church. I said, okay, you've got to finish that conversation. I will not be the church that comes in on the side and distracts you from that. You're going to have that conversation. That was in the July. I never heard anything. I said, I won't be in touch with you, not because I'm not interested, I'm very interested, but I'm not going to in any way distract you. You've got to pursue that one. So he pursued that, and we were just at the point, so it was the February then the following year, just at the point thinking, we've got to advertise. And so we were, I was thinking about, well, how are we going to do that? Think about the wording. Down with my son in Bristol, text comes through, said he, it hasn't worked out in the church, amicably, have we still got a position open in Bank Hall? So I said, well, don't know. I said, yeah. Come and see us, have a conversation. So then we had this conversation, and then it was a case of come and preach, and then come and preach again, talk through the leadership. There was a process that we had to go through. We asked them to kind of fill in some, give some doctrinal views. We put them all around the membership, and we kept speaking into the church, asking them, if you've got any issues, come and talk to us, allowing questions to be asked. But we knew we had a small window. We didn't want to keep him hanging on, you know, because if we said no, he's got to start the process all over again. So we wanted to kind of nail it down as best we could without being kind of too quick about it, but at the same time being quick enough to allow him to do what he would need to do. So we set the vote. I gave the congregation 4 weeks to ask questions. In our constitution, we have yes, no, abstain. And I just said, listen, if you think about abstaining, if you think about voting no, just come and tell us. It's secret ballot, but you know, why? What is it that would stop you voting for this man who the leadership think is right, godly character, and a winsome preacher? You know, why wouldn't you? What is it? We had a couple of folks come for, ask questions, legitimate ones. When it came to the vote, it was unanimous. I wasn't happy, but when I came in, there was somebody voted against me. I never found out who it was. I thought we buried them at some point. It was, But I thought it was just another seal. Yeah. The congregation have understood what's happening here. And Eddie is completely different from me. And yet, they embraced him and said, yeah. What I did say to them was, you have to remember that 28 years ago, or 27, you called a young man who you didn't know. And that was me. And I said, we're here. And, but we know this man a little bit. So that's what I was. Yeah. Okay. So Nick, were you?
Just a quick comment, Paul, on,
yeah.
You know, in hindsight,
yeah.
The length of time of the overlap, you know.
Yeah.
For you emotionally, the yeah. dynamics in the church,
yeah.
was that a good length of time? Would you go longer or shorter? You know?
In terms of starting the process or?
No, a year overlap with Eddie.
Okay.
Would it be helpful to work longer or was this a good time?
I think probably a longer period might have been better, and maybe if we'd have been able to do a couple of years, maybe that would be a good thing. But it's what it is in terms of time and finance. At the end of the day, Church North Liverpool has only ever paid one salary, paid two salries. That's a massive thing. And when we say, you know, the church pays 20,000 and the FIC get 10,000, well, I mean, it's a drop in the bucket, isn't it? In the big scheme of things. So I guess if, to answer your question, we still were going to go at 66. So if we were able to do it every year previous, then yeah, if Eddie had been there or somebody had come along, that would have been great and we'd been able to do it. Providentially, it was the year. But. It's been helpful, maybe because of who Eddie is. It's not been difficult. He's bigger than me. I just agree with him. So, any other? Yes.
How big's your membership?
So we're a small church. We've got 30 in membership. It's kind of remained that way over the years, by and large. We've got. Quite a number that are not members, that's being addressed, but yeah, that's where we're at. And as I say, North Liverpool, there's some guys here from Liverpool. If you were moving into the city, if you were coming to Liverpool, this is very general, but most people will move into the city centre or move south. To come to the north of the city, I mean, I think the guys who are with us will kind of verify that. Well, they're all from the north anyway, most of them. People don't necessarily move to the north. So that's where we're at, which is fine. Yeah. Okay, let's move it on. And so again, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end. Just let me keep an eye on the time. So what have we learned about running the last number of years? I can't remember about 10 things here, and they're in no order. It's a little bit random, but and I haven't really kind of thought I need to get them in a particular order. You put them in the order because it might be that something is more important to you than somebody else. So this is not in any order as such. It's the conversations I've had. It's my own reflections. And here you go. So running the last 10 years, what are some of the things I think that we either have to have in place, we need to think about, or we need to keep attending to, that we've been attending to in all of our ministry, but we need to keep a special attention to as we come towards the final take. And the first thing I've got is the importance of maintaining good ministry links with fellow pastors. I think, well, Brian Croft picked this up, didn't he? He talked about isolation and loneliness. And I think it's very interesting, and I've heard it, in team ministries, where a bigger church, and you've got a number of people within the team, you've got maybe three or four elders, you've got admin, you've got lots of stuff. But even within that, there can be times, because of our own situation, where there is a sense of isolation and loneliness. So I think maintaining those links with men and others in ministry is going to be very helpful. It was helpful to me anyway. So that might be at a local level, if there's fraternals that are kind of positive and helpful. Certainly for us, local fraternals was very good. Conferences, both local and national, and things like this, yes, very, very helpful. And meeting up with fellow workers. There is a double-edged sword to all of this. You come to conference and you sit beside somebody, and you know, everything's going very well, and they've had five baptisms, and there's you know, every, and you think, ah, oh, and they've just opened a coffee shop, and you think, what did I do in the last year? And you're trying to rejoice with them. But yeah, that's about, again, it's about your own heart, isn't it? And it's saying, yeah, okay, God is doing stuff. Thank you for that. Lord, remember us where we are. And we know God hasn't forgotten us. And I think personally, I can identify moments when I didn't feel necessarily like going to like a joint church meeting, is what we call them. But it would be a good reminder when I was there how important it was. And I think, it just to throw back to my story, when I was had to stand down from ministry for a month, I did go to the kind of fraternal and didn't feel like it, but it's a blessing when I got there, heard some ministry, can't remember what the ministry was, but it was just what I needed. And I think that has been very helpful for me. So I would encourage you, I'm sure you do, but if you can, it's very easy for your diary to get filled, and you can miss a fraternal for 2-3 months before you know it. And I think sometimes you just have to intentionally say, well, I'm going to go. It's there. let's go, and let's be an encouragement to others as well. So that's one thing. Secondly, I think being self-aware of who I am, mindful of strengths and weaknesses. We think we know ourselves. I think I know myself. I think I felt I was coping, and then I had to stand down because I wasn't. Everybody else knew I wasn't coping, and one or two people might have said, but I'm coping. But clearly I wasn't. So I think being self-aware, strengths and weaknesses, and what Brian Croft said this morning, you're weak. You know, that's what we are. So I think the need to attend to the mind, body and spirit, however you want to divvy it up, but anyway, just to attend to our lives is vital. Not to be consumed with the work, the ministry, it's important, but to the neglect of our family. I think exercise, and this is all about being self-aware, I think exercise, whatever that looks like, day off. My wife will be saying, what day do you have off? But anyway, we try to have something of a day off. Good routines, being able to say no and not feel guilty about saying no. You can't do everything, we can't do everything. Danger of thinking that we are coping and we're not. And what's that down to? Well, I think my own heart is down to pride. But also an inability of seeing any other way forward but the moment that we're in and what we're dealing with. Understand that we're in a spiritual battle. And I think being self-aware, our instruction to our people cannot be ignored in our own lives. Just commenting to Kevin when we were having a chat before, you know, we're preaching Sunday by Sunday, exhorting our people, look to the Lord, you know, you're facing challenges at work, you know, hold on and all this sort of stuff, however we put it. And then we've got to preach that stuff to ourselves and say, okay, I'm not telling you anything new here, am I? This is what you know, this is what you do, but like I say, often we know stuff intellectually, emotionally, when we engage, sometimes we can be all over the place. That could be down to sin in our hearts. It could be down to all sorts of stuff. So I think being aware of who we are, where we're at. I think, thirdly, understanding and accepting that we're not saviors. We all know that. I think we act sometimes as if we are to say, how on earth is this church going to manage without us? We would be as crass as to say that. But, you know, sometimes we run things as if it'll all fall apart. Like, you know, if we did actually, you know, fall terribly ill and we were hospital for however many weeks, would the church continue? I think it might just about survive. Because we've got a great shepherd and one that knows what he's doing. The ministry is not, and under that understanding that we're not saving, the ministry is not our identity. We're not to be consumed to the point of being of little use to ourselves, to the church, or to the family. I think we are involved, aren't we, in a very serious work. But it seems to me we mustn't take ourselves too seriously. I wonder sometimes if we need to laugh at ourselves sometimes. And yes, and I've done that a few times. And just learn to, be serious about what we're doing here, but understand who we are. And having healthy views of God's providence in all of that. Fourthly, won't be too much comment on this, contentment in serving God and shepherding. So you'll pick that up in Brian Croft's book, but it's something that was relayed to me in my conversation, that sense of contentment. Just God giving that. And I think, as I've kind of said to you, we did get to a point where, we were content. And just rest in whatever God has for us. Some kind of scripture references then now in fifthly, so relying on the Holy Spirit, 2 Timothy 4 and 2. 1 Peter 5 and 2, being the shepherd. Hebrews 13, 17, to the sense of being accountable, which adds to the seriousness of the moment, but equally understanding anything that we are is only by the Holy Spirit. Acts 20, 28, to take heed to yourself, we've had that reference in the conference already. To serve like Jesus, he's our example. And of course, we seek to serve, and he's the great shepherd, and we are the under shepherds. And then Peter talks about, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, he talks about being the example, doesn't he? Not domineering, but being an example to the flock. And I think it's in Brian Croft's book, but he says this, longevity will be down to the power of the Holy Spirit, not circumstances, not gifting, not temperament, and not personality. We've got all of that, temperament, personality, gifting, but it's about the Spirit working in us. Sixthly, the call to ministry, whatever that might look like, but a conviction that this is where God wants us to be in terms of ministry. And I don't necessarily mean where we're at, but the fact that we're in ministry at any given time, which may really be confirmed by the local church. And that sense of conviction is going to be tested, I don't doubt, and maybe in a time of when we're overwhelmed, but and certainly after 2 years we could have gone, but the sense of that was being tested, God has us here. God brought us through. Eight, in terms of how we manage and how we continue. So this is a general in terms of not just 10 years, but our family, in our ministry, and however we're running at whatever point, but certainly in the years that we have. We're mindful of those that we steward, danger of neglecting them, need to manage and care for them. And so one writer must not use ministry demands and pressures as excuse for neglect of family. So, you know, and 10 years and counting, once we get there, we'll be able to give a bit more time. I think, you know, you have to live in the moment that you're in and do what you've got to do in the moment, whatever that might look like. We need to care for our wives. And if she has concerns, we need to hear them. I think I've listened to my wife. Ask her afterwards. There's sometimes when I haven't listened to her, and because I think I know better. Mm-hmm. but we've been married 40 years, just about, so she knows me pretty well. 8, the danger, I think, so this is, as you know, no order, picked up with the conversations, the danger of becoming insular when we're caught up in moments, and we've got the... So how are we going to run the last 10 years? The danger of we become insular is probably we won't, because we just get swamped, overwhelmed by a moment. And when I was feeling somewhat, three things helped me. Firstly, Mike Reeves did a paper on Spurgeon. Forget where it was. You might have heard it. I just sat there thinking, yeah, this is what I need to hear. Then joint church meeting, guy preached, don't know what he preached on, but it was just a moment. And then Don Carson preached on Jeremiah and Word Alive. And well, for me, I don't forget that. And there are moments in our lives, this stuff here has been great. I think there are moments where at certain times in certain places when something becomes more significant, because God knows what we need when we need it. So I think as you progress through the next 10 years, whatever that might look like for you, my experience is that as we seek to honour God, that God gives us what we need when we need it, and it could be this conference, it could have been some of the stuff that Brian Groft has said, because it's helped me, and I hope it's helped you. 9, have a plan. It might be a 10-year plan, might be a 5-year, whatever, but some kind of a plan going on in your head. The need to prepare the church and yourself is going to be important. We need to plan responsibly, but we need to be open to the unexpected. We can make all the plans, but suddenly, hold on a minute, the dots are not joining together as we thought we might. And if we hadn't got Eddie, we probably still would have gone, so that dot wouldn't have been joined up. It would have been a hard move for us, but God has allowed something different, and we thank God for that too. And you will know if you've got a plan, when it's best to share it with your leadership, and then with the church. You know them. If you've been there for a number of years, you'll know them very well. If you've only been there a short time, well, maybe you need to kind of do a little bit more talking, whatever. You are the shepherd where you are, or the under shepherd, and so you convey what you do when you do it. Okay, we're nearly on the last, when it comes to the scripture, and we'll be done, but we'll have a few questions before that. Let's have a look what time we've got here. So, again, I think referencing the book by Brian, ordinary pastor's labour in the trenches, rightly trusting in the Lord's timing and fighting to keep their eye on faithfulness instead of numerical growth. I think the kind of big thing, you know, this, we want all on growth, don't we? And we've had that referenced as well. But the sense of being faithful, keeping our eye on Christ, and then whatever the growth is, it's because he gives it. We do our best. We express our giftings. We put our structures and strategies in place. But he does what he does. I'm going to read a scripture in a minute, but maybe has anybody got any questions or thoughts or observations? We finish in 15 minutes, or we're scheduled to finish in 15 minutes. So any comments or any questions? Or, I mean, literally just 10 things. I mean, there could be a bunch of other stuff, and go for it.
You thoroughly spoke to Simon Page. That seems to have set the boundary for your own setting down.
Yeah.
If that hadn't been in place, would you have gone longer?
Humanly speaking, I don't think I could. To be brutally honest, I could have gone earlier. But because just, I think COVID just did take a lot out of us all, but it did take a lot out of me. And so, you know, I thought, okay, you know, about going earlier. We didn't, but we could nearly have gone again. I think we would have kept in time, even if Eddie hadn't been in place. Just that was what God had planned that we were to move, and somehow. That sounds kind of maybe not helpful, but I'm waffling here, I think. But anyway, I think that I suppose if I was pushed and it would have been helpful for me to stay on a bit longer, then yeah, okay. But there would have to be a whole lot of stuff in place for me to do.
Thanks for your help and thoughts on that. Can you think of sort of negative bootstraps or half lumps you might have seen mistakes other people have made or even nearly made? What are the negatives we should watch out for?
Yeah, that's the problem. I didn't talk to anybody that, you know, made a mess. Well, I mean, we've all made messes. I think one of the big storylines that I certainly hear about men moving on is that they can't move on. That's the big negative. They cannot actually give up. Particularly if they've been involved right at the beginning of the ministry or they've been in it a very long time, the ministry has nearly become about them. And then to hand it over to somebody else. So my example would be, I wouldn't name a charity because I don't think it'd be appropriate, but I was a chairman of a particular charity and there was a guy that had established this work, very much a pioneer sort of guy, and he'd been running for a number of years, but he was elderly and he said, we've got to hand this on. So we said, right, okay, and he got in touch with the fella, did interviews, did everything, got the guy on, got him alongside. He couldn't give it up. It was his baby. And suddenly, I'm holding over my child to somebody else, and I can't do that. And we had massive conversations. Eventually, he was laid aside with ill health, and it worked. But I think that would be the one negative that I would have had if anybody else has got any thought, but I think that certainly would be one area where there's this sense of trying, you know, giving up and yet.
That's why I've done that. So I left the church after 30 years, and that was hard. And I talked to a number of ministers about this, and one minister told me a story about it was a conference. Retired pastors, and one pastor, a Baptist minister, said, looking around, he said, "Some of this year, nobody in this room knows what I've done."
Mm.
And wisely, an Anglican minister said to him, "He said, my brother, we've got to learn to become nobodies in the kingdom of God."
Yes.
Mm. And you know, whereas you know, I was a pastor in a church, and you know, you walk through the congregation, and they knew you, they loved you, etc. Now in a church where nobody knows where. That's incredibly hard. I asked my wife too.
I think that's why for me, I had to start thinking fairly early on. You know, when I was sort of beginning thinking about actually what it looked like to get it into my own head. That's before I even talked to the congregation or the leadership. And then begin talking to leadership and then begin to talk to the congregation and then begin to talk about we will be moving, there will be change, and don't be afraid of that, this is a good thing, and all that sort of stuff. That is enough, that was more even for me than for them. Do you know what I mean? But trying to help.
Can you talk to me about financial things for
as in
retirement?
Yeah, there's a box at the door as you go out. financially, it is something. We don't have a property. Even though the Housing Association are going to be helping us, it's a big thing for us. And but anyway.
Yeah, just a question linked to that.
Yeah.
Surely a big fear for people that we've heard is going on too long when you've passed your sell-by date.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But when finances play a big part of that, do many of us keep going
just because
it doesn't seem as though we're able to retire financially?
Well, I mean, and that's a very real thing, and to be fair, I've not got many other strings to my bow, other than having been in the sales sector, and they wouldn't have me back in that. So this was the only point of revenue So it is a real question, and I don't really have an answer other than that. Well, we have stayed, and we could have gone earlier, but God has enabled us to stay and provide for us. I think that would be the big thing I would say, that as we seek to, the Lord will enable and provide, and yeah, that sounds very simplistic, doesn't it? I wouldn't want it to be misunderstood, but just to stay in a place, because that's where we're financially being provided for, a big question.
It's not good for anyone.
It's not good for anybody, and probably not good for yourself either, but then what are the options, and then you've got to work that through. Sorry, go on.
I just think in the last 10 years, well, that's the time to think one needs to make financial preparations as well, and ask the church, look, I need a pension, or whatever else it might be.
Have they got a pension for you?
So the Church of England have always put something into a pension over the 28 years.
Yeah, that's great.
And that's been marvellous, and we're thankful for that. So we'll be able to pay the milkman anyway. So that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But you know what it's like. You've been raising a family, and we've had three children, and eventually they all go off, and you don't need to pay anything else for them. But that takes... I remember being on holiday once, and, I checked the bank manager to get some money out, and there was nothing in it. When's payday? That's where you were at. So people talk about saving a whole heap of money, but you've got enough just to pay, whatever. And there you go.
Thank you for sharing your situation about staying. You've talked to some other people as well about this idea of, have you talked to anybody to share some wisdom, or maybe somebody else does, about if you're thinking, well, what about moving? What should I be thinking about? What sort of thing to move towards?
My view was in terms of we could have actively looked for something. We could have kind of gone to the FIC and got our name out there, and I'm sure something would come along. But I think we were just of the mind, okay, let's need this, and God will do what he will do, and we will wait on that. I don't think I'm answering your question, but I think that that was how we approached it, whether it was the right thing to move. But I think that was because God wanted to put us in a place, that this is a place you need to stay. I think basically I would say, by default, this is the place you stay. But I understand there might be pressures, there might be issues, and it is a time to move. There will be times, and your health might dictate that, or your wife, because she's got a bit more wisdom, might dictate that. And I think we need to listen carefully. Sorry, I didn't really answer it, but come on, Dylan.
No, just to say, from what you said before, you came to the conclusion that you ought to be staying.
Yes.
But I guess if there had been a real big call out of the blue from the Lord, then you would have to reevaluate.
We would certainly have had to look at it and say, right, okay, is this the right thing for us? And then, I don't know, we didn't actually have to put anything in place, but we would have certainly had to give that some consideration. Without doubt. Last couple, Wes?
Do you think there could be far more of a role going forward with more senior guys in the last 5-10 years becoming number twos?
Absolutely.
To younger guys?
Absolutely. That
are far more visionary going assisting in the church plant or something?
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think it would be great. I think just to step back for your own benefit and energy levels, and yet still have the experience in the moment. Financial questions. We could probably, if you were going to say, are we going to do that over 5 years? Yeah, that would be quite a big stretch for us. But again, there's a fine line between faith and foolishness, isn't there? So you can say, okay, we're going to commit to that. We're provided for. But I think, absolutely, I would agree with all of that. Yeah, Sydney, the last one?
It's hard, isn't it, when you're 30 and you give up playing 11-a-side.
Yeah.
You know, 40, you get up to even 5 aside.
Yeah.
50, you've got 5 times your money.
Yeah. Is this a competition?
Transform yourself forward to try and say my capacity is lessening.
Yes.
Did you have any input into, you know, maybe other leaders in the church to honestly just say to you, I see it lessening in 5 years, you know, just to gauge? It's hard to transport ahead, isn't it?
It is.
Feel like 55, 60, you know.
I think our first conversation with leadership was not so much about energy or so much about ability to be able to fulfill a task, as much about, listen, in 5 years now, 7, whatever it was, I will, in all likelihood, be retiring. We need to start thinking about it here. Because suddenly it's here. And we are here. You know, end of the month, we're gone. And where did the last year go to? So I think that would play into it. So as you go along, you know, the energy levels and how does that look? And so it's just not that. We just had ongoing conversations with leadership. Right. Do you want me to finish?
Stretching my leg.
Oh, you're stretching my leg. That's fine. It's always a good thing to stretch your leg. I've got the message, so it's fine. I'm going to read, pray, and we're done. He says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. Only let us hold true to what we've attained. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we do want to praise and thank you for the fact that we are in various stages of ministry. We find ourselves in different contexts, and some here maybe are facing immense challenges, maybe going back to members' meetings or AGMs where there'll be difficult agendas. Others, it might be very positive and thinking about employing others or bringing somebody on to help. Whatever our context, Lord, we trust that together we've been able to help each other, remind ourselves of great truth. We thank you for the ministry that we've had at conference that has been enabling us and equipping us. And so we pray that you will just help us today to honour you in whatever the map looks like, whether it's the last one or whether there's a few to go. Lord, give us strength, give us energy. Help us to rely on you. Our dependence is in Christ and in Christ alone. And so empower us with the Holy Spirit. Help us, enable us to help our church, our family, our wives, or whatever, and that we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Paul. Show appreciation in a moment to you, Paul. I'm someone who's gone a bit further on than I've had. It's very hard to leave. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, when Paul speaks about we were ripped away from you, it's really hard the day after, Paul, when you finish. And just remember that, guys. But let me say to you, folks, there is great opportunities in the future. If we are prepared to serve in some way, one thing we have as older men and women is experience and wisdom. I'm still waiting for the wisdom, but the experience is there. And what we can do is to pray, and if the Lord will sort of the details, we are available to serve and encourage you to have. Thank you so much, Paul. Let's give him a round. Thank you.